Wow, this is shaking up to be a long week for Taiwan specials. Usually they're 10 minutes only. You know, one of the things I said I'd get to today is feudalism and ideology. There are two things. There's something that's part of a culture in Taiwan, and there's something developing in Western culture. And I want you to know about both of these. What's developing in Western culture, I touched on in the editorials this week, the Symphony Pacific Times editorials. Feudalism. The left want us to return to feudalism. And I don't mean the public funding Democrats. I've got a lot of friends. I've got a lot of friends that were teachers in school. And they're Democrats who believe that we don't need to totally be afraid of the government. And they believe in public funding and roads and bridges. Those are public funding, maybe kind of FDR-like Democrats. A lot of Chicago type of Democrats in some sense. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the leftist activists. I'm talking about the 40-somethings that support the SJWs. They're accused of being snowflakes or whatever. I'm talking about the younger, more radical, liberal, you know, let's have men and women walking into the bathroom saying that they're not men or women because you're not a man or woman based on your DNA or your biology. You're a man or woman based on your perception, on your opinion. You know, so now gender is not an empirical objective fact. Now gender is an opinion. And based on that, we all have to act as if it is fact and respond. So I don't, you know, the gender identity stuff. Those liberals under 40, especially, or in government. Yes, I put Governor Witless Whitmer in there. They want a return to feudalism. They looked at the opportunity to order everyone to stay home, and they couldn't resist it because at night they sit and dream. They call each other and rub each other's feet and fantasize about a world where everything goes back to feudalism and all of the people in the population are serfs confined to a manor, M-A-N-O-R, small plot of land, and they, the rightful people who were born among the stars and the leaders of the universe, can lead and guide all of us stupid people into what is fair, which we could never understand, because they're the Democrats, after all. That's their ideology, and they really want us to go to feudalism. And it's not just Christendom feudalism. So many people say that Christianity invented feudalism. It didn't. Feudalism predates the Christianization, dare we say that. It's an oxymoron. Shall we say the Catholicizing? How about that? How about the Catholicizing? The churchifying, the churchyifying. Christianity is about daily life, not about where you go every week in the box that the bank owns, that called a church building that you live inside of for 2 hours every week. I don't mean that. But when they impose that church-instituted Catholic thing on the West, bad as it was, that started to make feudalism go away, and that led to freedom. And they are not feudalist in Europe because of the spread of the Bible. But feudalism did exist through much of that time, and it existed before that time. Well, what was it? The movie Excalibur explained it really well. I didn't mean Shakespeare had a character who was a magician about to do his last, he was a wizard or a witch or something. About a sorcerer or something, about to do his last spell or incantation or something. As Christianity was spreading across Europe, forcibly Catholic, lots of problems, but spreading nonetheless, before any of that, witches were a common thing. Wizards were there. In that 80s movie, Excalibur, one of the Patrick Stewart's early shows, along with a lot of other actors that turned out to be famous. In the movie Excalibur, near the end of the movie, the character playing Merlin the Wizard says The old gods are going, the new gods are coming. It is the way of things. In other words, Jesus is going to replace our witchcraft. And so there was this massive, godless, druid, ancestor worship, tree worship, the movie Avatar type, you know, utopia all across Europe before Catholicizing came in. And the left want us not to just go back to feudalism, but pre-Roman Catholic feudalism, where it's all witchcraft and chaos. They would rather have a world of witches and warlocks, maybe taken over by ancient warring Islam, like Europe was under threat of, rather than to have the economy and the freedom and the technology we do today. And if you don't, you know, if you need any evidence, look at what Gretchen Whitmer did in Michigan. Look what she, without blinking an eye, look what's been happening in New York. Governor Cuomo, look what he's done in New York. Look what they've been doing. They want a return to feudalism. In fact, actually, you know, a lot of people complain about Constantine taking over the Roman Empire. The alternative was the witches and the warlocks. Their religions were doing human sacrifices. And the alternative is, as much as I don't like, I'm a Christian that doesn't like instituted churchianity. I don't have a problem with Catholics specifically. But as much as I don't like institutions, Catholic or Protestant or otherwise, the alternative was witchcraft running the state religion. So I'm glad Constantine came along and defeated them. And I'm glad that the mess of instituted churchianity drove out witchcraft throughout Europe. But the left is angry about that. And they want us to go back to feudalism, not just feudalism where you've got serfs and lords and knights and kings and peasants and a marquis and a baron and an earl. And they don't want to just go back to those days. They want those days before there was any Bible where it's all witchcraft or where it's Muslims threatening to take us all over. Like ancient Muslim style, not modern Muslim style like we see in Malaysia, where you've got good technology, or Dubai. Not that. They want messy Islam, the ancient thing. And they want that's what they hunger for. It's very sad. It's very, very sad. They want ISIS and that type of stuff. Because who do they defend? They never want to say anything bad about any radical Muslim type of stuff. It's just they're not Muslims, they're radical. And so I don't want to get too insulting Muslims. I have a number of friends that are Muslims. This isn't against being against Muslims. This is a return to pre-civilized chaos. So far back, it's even pre-Bible. So, the other issue, when it comes to ideologies, you know, that's an ideology, a return. They're not progressives. They're regressives. Utter regressives. They want to go back 1,000 years, more than that. The other thing going on over here in Asia, and this was just explained to me recently, in Confucian thinking, Chinese, Taiwanese, you're going to get Chinese in Malaysia, you're going to get them in Hong Kong. It's part of the culture war in Hong Kong. They don't know how to think of hypotheticals. They don't know how to think of if scenarios. Seriously, Confucianism trained people there's only one idea, only one. And that is the idea that your parents and or teachers dictate to you. I want to open the door and go into town and buy our food for the day and come back. Okay, right. Well, what if the road is broken and the bridge is out? Oh, that's an if. So we can't talk about that. I'm not joking. You say, the bridge is out, we can't go. If you say that, you're being defiant. If the bridge is out, you have to go along with it, pretend that you agree with them, pretend that the bridge isn't out, and go with them down the road until they get there and tell you whatever new truth, utter singular wisdom there is to obey and believe and follow and parrot. You may not tell them we can't go into town and buy our food for the day. We can't open the door, go into town and buy our food for the day because the bridge is out and we have to cross the bridge to get to town. You cannot tell them that. You've got to go out. You've got to pack everything up, get your clothes. We're talking about maybe, you know, the ancient world, you know, lower technology where you've got to travel on foot or whatever. You've got to pack everything up, get your sandals ready, get your bag ready, go outside with mom and dad, walk out up to the bridge and then pretend to be surprised when you get there. And they might even know the bridge is out later on, but they're not going to act like it because that would make it look like they were wrong and they don't want to lose face. I'm not joking. This is not an exaggeration. I know it. They live in a world where it is dictated what you are to think, and there's only one option. You can't say, well, hypothetically speaking, what if the bridge is out? The bridge might be out. What if it's out? That's defiant. And those cultures do not know how to comprehend an if scenario. It's weird. And so as I discuss situations with Trump's reelection, or as I discuss things with what war with China could be like with the Taiwanese, who are thinking about it all the time. As I discuss those things, some Taiwanese have a really hard time emotionally going through the conversation with me because I talk about possibilities. I talk about hypotheticals. I talk about if situations. Well, if this happens, then that. If something else happens, then that, which could have two other things. It could be this, and if this happens, then that, and that. All these ifs fries their brain. They get emotionally disturbed and literally start shaking. And they're not angry with me at all. They're my friends, but they emotionally can't handle it. And I had someone the other day tell me, Jesse, I can't handle this conversation. You're talking about if it's good. I wish I could, but emotionally I've been raised in Confucianism and I cannot talk about all these hypotheticals. It's emotionally disturbing for me. Someone explained it to me that way. And I said to my friend, I said, really? I said, they're trained to not even think about hypotheticals. He says, no, there's only one thing. The term is monolithic. It's not even binary thinking. It's monolithic. There are no ones and zeros in their computer system. There's only one. Only the number one. Just complete, utter uniformity. And I said to my friend, that's got to go. That's got to be removed from Taiwan's culture. He said, really? You know, it has to be. I said, yes, because otherwise they will fail because they cannot think about different scenarios and they will make terrible engineers. They'll be able to write software as they're told, but the software will not be able to prepare for unforeseen circumstances because they refuse to discuss the unseen. So, I mean, you know, there's seen and there's foreseen, you know, they're different. So, I don't know. It's very, we are in a time. The thing is the younger people in Taiwan, in Asia, especially, you know, college students in Hong Kong, maybe late 20s, 28 years old and younger in Hong Kong are starting to break out of that. In Taiwan, it's 22, 24 and younger. Maybe middle college students and high school students that are really starting to break out of. I would say that the high school students in Taiwan are about where the 28-year-olds are in Hong Kong. I've always said this. Taiwan is 10 years behind Hong Kong. I've always said it. 10 years behind Hong Kong. All right. So, you know, they're breaking out of that monolithic Confucian anti-hypothetical thinking. And you know what? I'm glad to be part of the solution. You know, I'm glad to tell people what hypotheticals are. You know, this is how hypothetical works. You know, it's not what I want. It's a potential idea. And I was talking about that yesterday. I said, I didn't talk about what I wanted. I'm just talking about how the world works in hypothetical scenarios. And the thing is this, as the far left, the activist left, the feudalist regressives who call themselves progressives and liberals, they don't want liberation and liberty, liberalizing from too many constraints. They want a regressive return to ancient feudalism with less liberty because we're too stupid to know what to do with it. And in that ancient thinking, which was happening in Europe pre-Bible about the same time that things were happening over in Confucian China pre-Bible, okay, in all of that ancient pre-Bible feudalism in Europe, they also don't even know how to think about hypotheticals. It's not that they're brainwashed to have monolithic thinking. They don't know how to reason. They didn't. And so when you talk about a hypothetical or about different points of view, this, there's this opinion, that opinion, and the third opinion, and the fourth opinion. When you talk about that with one of these extreme liberals, extremes, they don't know how to handle emotionally the concept of understanding an opinion that they don't agree with. See, for Taiwanese, it's obeying the opinion you're told to obey. In the radical, regressive, feudalist left of America, they want to tell you what your opinion should be. It's not about obeying the opinion you're told. It's about telling someone else the opinion. They've been given the opinion to force you to comply to. But it's still monolithic thinking. And I who was it who was trying to explain it? There's this idea that they're who they are. They're Democrats because they're born Democrats and they will always be Democrats. And the Republicans are trying to eat them alive for dinner at Thanksgiving. And there's no way to escape this. You have to fight and survive to the death because that's what it is. No one's allowed to change. No one's allowed to understand the other guy. Nope. You're predestined to fight forever and no one can change whose side they're on. That's how they think. And we need a message that tells people that we don't have to stay in monolithic thinking. And that good news that we're able to think about possibilities, such as a future, what it might be and would be like with Star Trek, is the purpose of this podcast. See you next week.